This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. It's great to be back behind the microphone after a little time off last week. Yesterday, I was actually here in D.C., but at the White House, so I appreciate Sandy Rios filling in for me. I'll talk more about what took place yesterday. But first, coming up, the Senate is reportedly closer to agreeing to a measure that will repeal the bulk of Obamacare and replace it with a more market-based system. Unfortunately, the unfolding episode in England, baby Charlie Gard, should make clear the dangers of a single-payer health care system, which is where we are headed if Obamacare is not repealed. Louisiana Congressman Ralph Abraham is here with the latest from Capitol Hill in just a moment. And the House is also preparing to vote on the National Defense Authorization Act. And one of the many amendments that House members will vote on is whether or not your tax dollars should be spent to buy beans and bullets and bombs or rearrange body parts and hormone therapy for transgenders. Yes, that's going to be decided by Congress. Author of the amendment, Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler of Missouri, will explain. Also, the president proposed in his FY18 budget to zero out federal funding for the arts and humanities. Is that a good idea? Well, Adam Angieski from Open the Books will help us answer that question with a shocking report on what the National Endowment of the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities have been funding with your tax dollars. That's coming up here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, Congress is back in D.C. following the 4th of July recess, and there are a number of pressing issues facing lawmakers, especially in the Senate, where the repeal of Obamacare has been stalled. Now, earlier today, the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announced the Senate will delay their August break until the third week of August. Now, that's actually something the House Freedom Caucus has been pushing for over a month now. This statement coming from Mitch McConnell's office earlier today, quote, in order to provide more time to complete action on important legislative items and process nominees that have been stalled by lack of cooperation from our friends across the aisle, the Senate will delay the start of the August recess until the third week of August. Wow, things are really going to get hot here in D.C. Well, one of the items, as I mentioned, that is front and center that has to be addressed, and time is running out because of the vehicle, the budget reconciliation measure that's being used to repeal Obamacare, the clock is ticking. Now, yesterday I was at the White House and I met with the president and the vice president where they remained optimistic that Obamacare will be repealed, and they're doing everything within reason to work with the Senate to see it accomplished. With us now is Congressman Ralph Abraham. He's a medical doctor. He was first elected to represent Louisiana's 5th Congressional District in December of 2014 and reelected to a second term in November 2016. He serves on a number of committees, including he is a member of the Doctors Caucus. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. What is exactly holding the Senate up on moving forward with the repeal of Obamacare?
Well, the exact problem that I think the Senate is trying to reconcile is the Medicaid expansion numbers and the Medicaid expansion money. As we all know, Obamacare is broken basically in half. It's non-functioning, and as you alluded to in your opening statement, you do not want a single-payer plan in America. And anybody that thinks that's a good thing, they need to come talk to me, because I can assure you it's a vehicle that we do not want. You have one particular entity that decides who and who not, and who can, and what procedures can dictate health care, then you're talking health care ration. And just like the baby in England, that's what happens when you have a single-payer system. So most of Obamacare, the money, the billions of dollars that are being spent on subsidies, are for Medicaid expansion. And look, we, as a physician, I I want everybody to have health care. But as I've said so many times, Medicaid expansion was getting people off employers' health care, which were good insurance systems in most cases, and putting them on a system that I consider second-hand health care for first-class people. These are hardworking people that are trying to provide for their families, working from can to can. And, again, they deserve good health care. And, again, I can assure you with Medicaid, where the formulary is very restrictive, where you can almost not find a specialist to see a patient when needed to be seen, it's just not a good system. So Obamacare is broken. We've got to get something better. And I'm glad to see that the Senate is going to stay for an extra 2 weeks to get this done.
So, Congressman, I mean, as a doctor, and I talk to a number of doctors. Fortunately, I don't have to see a lot of them, but I talk to them. The issue of Medicaid, there's so many government strings attached, so much reporting, and of course, limited on reimbursements that many doctors are moving away from even accepting Medicaid.
Oh, Tony, it's getting harder and harder to find even a primary care physician that will accept it just because of what you said. The bookkeeping or the computer keeping is just monumental. And again, as a practicing physician myself that does take Medicaid, if I need a procedure done on a particular patient, in many, many, if not most cases, I have to admit that Medicaid patient to the hospital because you cannot get a specialist to see him on an outpatient basis simply because of reimbursement. They just lose money on that particular patient. So if you think of that happening thousands of times a day, having to admit a patient just to get a colonoscopy or a bronchoscopy done or a stress test done, whereas most people with private insurance get that on an outpatient basis, you're looking at an extra several, we're not talking millions, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars of calls every year just to put that patient in the hospital to get that test run.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Congressman Ralph Abraham, doctor, congressman from the 5th Congressional District of Louisiana, my guest, talking about the repeal of Obamacare kind of stalled in the Senate. Today, Mitch McConnell announcing that the Senate will stay in session longer until the third week of August so that they can get their work done. When we see this, now, Congressman, this is my view, okay? This is my view. It's my thought from the very beginning as I've been here, now watching all of this unfold with Obamacare from the very start, that the design by many, they couldn't do it at the time, but the unsustainability of this creation called Obamacare would ultimately lead to what they wanted, and that was a single-payer system. The only way to get us back to a market-based system is to repeal this. And it's still going to be a hybrid, but it can make our system sustainable and keep us from a single-payer system. Am I right?
You're exactly right. And again, the plan that we put out on the House and hopefully the plan that we will come to conference to with the Senate, it's not going to be the perfect plan. But as you said, it's got to be better than what we've got. And you know what people maybe understand, but some don't, that in Obamacare, there are what we call independent patient advisory boards, which are made up of a group of people that can dictate today what can be done and what cannot be done to a particular patient. Let's say a cancer patient that needs a very expensive drug. They can be denied that, and that is just not what we do in America. We've got to get back to a market-based system that is patient-centered, fair, equitable, and affordable. All those things have to come into play. And again, we're not talking about denying insurance to anybody. Again, as a physician, I want everybody insured. It makes it easier for the patient, easier for the doctor, and less costly when you don't have to walk into an emergency room every time that you have a minor illness. So, again, the system that we've got now is unsustainable. It is literally bankrupting the country, and we've got to find a better way.
Well, apparently some of the changes that the Senate is considering to the House bill that went over is actually Senator Portman of Ohio, one of the senators pushing for more resources to deal with the crisis with opioids. And so that apparently is in the bill, increased funding for that. Also allows the use of the health savings accounts to pay for premiums of health care. And then, of course, the big one is the Cruz-Lee Amendment that's being looked at, which would allow these providers that provide insurance under the parameters of the health care system, the Obamacare exchange type programs, that they can also offer other programs within their insurance scheme, which will give more choice and theoretically drive down the cost.
Yeah, that's correct. The Cruz-Lee Amendment, it basically says that you can offer, these insurance companies can offer just bare-bone plans that are basically just hospitalization. And with Obamacare now, when you have a premium that's $1,000 a month and a deductible that's $6,000 to $8,000,
that's crazy.
You can touch it. You are self-insured anyway. So, I think all those things are doable and workable. I'm looking forward to the Senate passing, again, a bill that we can go to the conference with the House bill and come up with something that's good. And as time goes along, we can make it better and better.
All right. Congressman Ralph Abraham, thanks so much for joining us today. Always great
Thank
to talk
you
with
having.
You.
Have a great day.
All right. Congressman Ralph Abraham of Louisiana, the 5th Congressional District. That's North Louisiana. That's actually back home. We call those Yankees up there in North Louisiana. Anyway, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. This is critical, folks, that the Senate move this and repeal it. And as I mentioned at the beginning, the clock is ticking because of the measure that's using, the vehicle, the Budget Reconciliation Act, that has to be used within the budget year of the budget they passed. This is FY17. We're now dealing with FY18, and they want to use that budget. You can only do one of these a year. They want to use that to deal with tax reform. But they've got – it's very complicated, but trust me, the clock is ticking. So the Senate has to move on this, and this was – a very clear message. And later on when they open the phone lines, you can tell me if I'm wrong. But I believe the Republicans, their future depends on keeping their promise to repeal Obamacare. For the last 8 years, this has been the battle cry in every election cycle. Beginning in 2010 when they won the majority in the House, in every subsequent election, it has been repeal Obamacare. Now they can do it. They have a president who's waiting, sitting at his desk, pen in hand, waiting to sign this repeal bill. It all comes down to the Senate. And some of them, are not wanting to move. They don't have everything they want in the replace. Well, the president's, he's calling them out. He said, okay, you can't agree on a replacement, then just repeal it. Pass the 2015 reconciliation bill that you already passed and sent to President Obama, and he vetoed it. Send that to me, and I'll sign it. Look, this president's doing his part. He is. All right? We got to make sure the Senate does their part. All right, coming up next, Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler trying to keep your tax dollars going to our nation's military to pay for the essentials, like bullets and bombs, not rearranging body parts. That's next. Here on Washington Watch, don't go away.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website, twholyland.com, for more information. twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you are on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. Okay, on June 30th, on like the 11th hour, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis gave the military chiefs another 6 months before having to implement phase two of Barack Obama's transgender policy in our nation's military. It was set to go in place July 1st. Now, the first phase allowed people who were transgendered in the military to be openly transgendered. The second phase was to have the military start recruiting people who are transgender. There's actually a term for this, gender dysphoria. And this was stopped. Well, like I said, delayed. It wasn't stopped. 6 months to allow the military to do a little more review of this and trying to figure out how they're going to handle it. Well, I'm not sure they can. I've talked to a number of military leaders. In fact, the Army asked for a 2-year delay, the Marine Corps a year delay, because they're just not quite sure how this is going to work out. And at a time when our nation's military is literally going into museums to scavenge parts off of planes so that they can fly, serviceable planes, why would we be taking limited resources on something that we don't need to do? And that's, we're talking literally into the billions of dollars over the next 10 years that would be directed away from buying essential military hardware to paying for the surgeries and the hormone treatments for these individuals who are recruited into the military knowing that this is what lies ahead. Well, one member of Congress is not standing by the wayside, but rather trying to keep your tax dollars from being misappropriated for such things. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler represents the 4th Congressional District of Missouri. She serves on the House Armed Services Committee and is working to amend the annual National Defense Authorization Act to prohibit funds from being spent in the military for sex change operations and other therapies. And she joins us now from Capitol Hill by phone. Congresswoman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. Glad to be here.
Well, give us an update. Are you making progress on protecting the hard-earned tax dollars that Americans have to pay to our government to support our military?
Well, we are. We're talking to as many members as we can about this amendment that will come up later this week. And, you know, most of them say this is something I can support because there's no reason that hardworking families all across America should send in their hard-earned tax dollars April 15th and for it to go to these gender transition surgeries. You know, especially as we look at all the threats facing us around the world, and this is what I hear every week in Armed Services Committee, some classified briefings, some not, about the threats we are facing. And I tell you, we need to spend every dollar addressing those threats, whether it be to buy more hardware or buy more missiles or missile defense, or whether it be to buy more planes or to be able to have more troops on the ground. We need to be investing the money there, not to the gender transition surgeries that will make the soldier non-deployable. So as you pointed out, why would we recruit people to serve who actually can't serve? It just doesn't make any sense, and it was a policy from the Obama administration. So I think this week we need to roll that back.
It's not fully implemented. It can be stopped. And so if it's not stopped and it is implemented, it's no longer the Obama policy, but it becomes a Trump-era policy. And a Republican Congress, because the Republicans control Congress, they control the White House, and if this goes forward, you can't point fingers backward.
You know, I've been very encouraged by the steps that the Trump administration has made to roll back a lot of the onerous regulations and policies of the Obama administration that have been so harmful to our country. Economically, socially, militarily, every which way. And, you know, with his reversal of the Waters of the U.S. EPA rule, for example, and a lot of bad policies he has reversed. So I know, I feel like they are looking at this. We have heard they are reviewing it. But, you know, the sooner, better than later. We have members of the military now from last summer on that have come out and said, I am transgender and I want to participate in the medical treatment to have this gender transition surgery. And so, you know, now is the time to say, no, this is not a good use of tax dollars. We don't want our money to go there, and we need to be spending it on other things.
And we're talking, nobody knows exactly what this could cost, but projections based upon some estimates, this could be upwards of over $3 billion over a 10-year period. That can buy a lot of military hardware. But here's the bottom line, Congresswoman Hartzler, and I know you have asked this question, but when the Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, general, retired Marine Corps general, when he was in his confirmation, he said, look, when he was asked questions about the social engineering, he said, look, I'm going to have the most effective lethal fighting force in the world. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. That should be the benchmark for every decision we make. How in the world will this make us a more lethal or effective fighting machine?
Well, it doesn't. There's no reason to have this policy if we are looking at readiness and lethality, as well as looking at the wise use of our precious defense dollars. So it's time to roll this back as soon as possible. I'm hopeful that Secretary Mattis will do that, that President Trump will encourage him as well. He could just call up tonight and Secretary Mattis and say, hey, let's reverse this. I mean, he could. And I'm hopeful that he will. But in the meantime, with this very, very important defense bill on the floor, I feel like as we as representatives of the people have to act and put some common sense back in this whole situation by saying, at least we are going to stop funding the surgeries. We're not going to allow that. And we're going to spend that money elsewhere to meet the threats we are facing in this world.
All right. Well, we'll encourage our folks to give their members of Congress a call to support you in this effort. And Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, we thank you for your leadership and thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler of Missouri. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. When we come back, if President Trump, if his budget were approved, deep cuts would be to the National Endowment for the Arts. We'll tell you why it's a good idea when we come back. Don't go away.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, one of the things that we can expect this week is Janet Yellen could give us some indication of some target prices for interest rates, whether they are going to raise interest rates in the month of September. I believe they will. But right now, we are seeing a little bit of stagnant or sideways movement in the markets, and this could mean some sideways movement for growth as we continue to face some uncertainty in the markets because of the uncertainty in the political events in Washington, D.C. They've got about 30 legislative days to get anything done. And if they don't work at all through the month of August, this could be a very difficult time, not only for the Trump administration, but for our economy moving forward. Something has to get done. And I'm trying to figure out what all the committees in Washington that are trying to get things done, what exactly are they doing? Anyway, it looks like consumer confidence picking up in China. That's going to be good, and I'm sure the oil sector is going to be watching that to see if factory orders begin to pick up as car manufacturers are rebounding in China. That means industrial output means more draw on oil inventories, and that would be good news for oil. One of the big concerns as we head into the earnings season, that will kick off next week, starting off with the financial sector, the biggest part of the industries, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, all expected to report lower earnings. It looks like they could miss and have a disappointing earnings season. And some are saying that the earnings season for second quarter could find that we have more disappointing earnings than we have encouraging earnings.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along for the ride today. If you're driving, keep your eyes on the road and ears on the radio. And the website, if you're near a computer, TonyPerkins.com, lots of resources there for you. Like, President Trump's team released his proposed budget last month. And I'm going to have to say, we talked about it. It was good, quite good, actually. Well, the overall proposed spending is about on par for with last year, $4.1 trillion. But in Washington, that's a cut. Okay, that's a cut. The budget proposes to begin shutting down the National Endowment for the Arts, that's the NEA, in 2018, given the notable funding support provided by private and other public sources, and because the administration does not consider the NEA activities to be core federal responsibilities. And to that, I say a hearty amen. I don't think it does. Well, joining us now is Adam Angieski. He is the founder and CEO of OpenTheBooks.com. And they've just released a report. I saw this morning, came across my email early this morning. And it's about how some of the monies from the National Endowment for the Arts and Humanities are being spent. And listen, folks, now listen up. Not that you'll be surprised, but maybe you'll cry or you'll laugh. I don't know which. But Adam, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you very much, Tony. Thank you for your interest in our work at OpenTheBooks.com.
Well, we've known each other for a while, and I've tracked your work and grateful for it because I do think, you know, back when I was in office, they said sunlight is the best sanitizer.
That's right.
And so pulling back the veil and allowing the Americans to see where their tax dollars are going, it's like turning the light on with the cockroaches start to scatter.
That's right. And the best thing about it is it's nonpartisan. People just want to see where their tax dollars are being spent. And I think that's why this oversight report is so important today. And we were able to break this on the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, where we took the last fiscal year of federal spending into the National Foundation on the Arts and Humanities. And we show taxpayers, we show families all across America exactly what is being funded there.
Well, let's talk about some of the things being funded. And, of course, one of the points that you make is that it's not – well, there's two issues. One is what it's funding, but two, who it's giving the funding to. It's not like these are impoverished organizations.
Right.
I mean, these have – in some cases, billions of dollars of endowments, and they're taking tax dollars.
Exactly. So what we are all told, so what we like to do at Open the Books is our data to give context to the political arguments that are forefront in the country right now, so people can have the data to gainfully weigh in on the debates. So the president, obviously, he wants to cut in his October budget that he submitted. It'll come up after Labor Day for a vote. He wants to cut all funding of the arts and humanities. On the other side, you have people like Hollywood actor Robert Redford, and he wants to actually increase the budget. In the continuing resolution in May, when they voted for that budget, they actually increased the funding by $5 million. So oversight here is very, very important. And you bring up a very good point about our study today. We show empirically that 8 out of every $10 of arts and humanities funding is not going to the starving artist. It's going to well-heeled institutions that have plenty of assets. In fact, 8 out of $10 goes to organizations that have over $1 million of financial assets. And $100 million, roughly $100 million, goes to organizations with over $10 million of assets. So they don't need taxpayer money, but they're taking it anyway.
And there is a concentration of most of these grants going to certain states.
Well, 10 states soak up about half of the money. So out of the 50 states, 10 states get half the money. Money is also going to American territories.
They happen to be blue states?
Well, they're on the coast, right?
Yeah, okay.
So it's California and it's New York. My home state of Illinois is getting plenty of money. So we break out, like in the state of New York, the Met. And, you know, you have Katy Perry and Will Ferrell and Madonna and A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, you know, a star-studded gala every single year. They walk the red carpet. It's fashion's biggest night. They raise, on an annual basis, about $300 million for the Met. They've got about $4 billion of financial assets. And over the course, since 2009, they have taken over $1 million of taxpayer money. And look, Tony, I think they should pay it back.
So what do they do with it?
They spend it. So here's one project that they raised the money for. They took $75,000 from the National Endowment of the Arts for probably a project that has public purpose. It was a project on Jerusalem art between the years 1000 and year 1400. They raised, alongside the $75,000 of taxpayer money, they raised $3.3 million for that project. Their fundraising machine, they didn't need the $75,000 right. from taxpayers, but they took it anyway.
But a lot of the projects that are funded with this, that may not be objectionable, but there are, right. there are a lot of these programs that, in fact, are – some are objectionable, some are offensive, some are insane – and could not get funding anywhere else. And
that's right.
we're up against – we're going to be up against a break here. The clock is ticking. And I want you to stick around because in your list, there's two in particular that just caught my attention. One is in Tucson, Arizona. And I don't want to give too much away, folks. But if you –
Walking with a cactus.
Well, I don't want to offend right. any of our cacti lovers, but – Well, just stick around. This next could poke you. We're going to talk about how your tax dollars are spent on adoring cacti. That's next. And the hobos. We're going to get to the hobos as well. Ever wanted to be a hobo? Well, the government's helping fund kind of a celebration. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this break.
The Center for Medical Progress continues to release shocking videos that expose the lies and crimes of Planned Parenthood. David Dalyden, the heroic undercover journalist behind the videos, was recently exonerated from the charges filed against him. Come to Values Voter Summit to hear from David Dalyden in person as he discusses his journey and the courage it takes to stand up for the unborn. With a new pro-life administration in place, America's primed for change. Seize the moment by attending this year's Values Voter Summit. VVS will give you the tools to inform and mobilize your community to protect the unborn and defund Planned Parenthood. Invited and confirmed speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, Secretary Ben Carson, Ambassador Nikki Haley, Senator Ted Cruz, Kellyanne Conway, Dana Lash, Franklin Graham, Ollie North, Alan West, and many more. Join us at Values Voter Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C., as we work together to protect the unborn, the family, and religious liberty. Register now at valuesvotersummit.org.
God has uniquely gifted you for His purposes. You are wired for good works. Volunteering with Operation Christmas Child directly connects you with God's global purposes. By serving year-round, you further the proclamation of the gospel in more than 150 countries through a simple gift-filled shoebox. To learn more about local, year-round opportunities to make disciples, or to apply, visit SamaritansPurse.org/volunteer with OCC.
Unwholesome television programs and unnatural social agendas. As believers, we use our religious freedoms to take out the trash in the media and society. Even children's magazines are in the crosshairs. Join 1millionmoms.com and take action.
This is Monica Cole of 1 Million Moms. We need you to sign up and speak up for our children at 1millionmoms.com. We are making the difference.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there's probably never been a more important time in our economy to be thinking about a charitable gift annuity. I hope you'll do that just to shore up, to firm up some more income, permanent income, income that you can count on for the rest of your life while you're doing the Lord's work. A charitable gift annuity has been something I've been talking about for 25 years. Finally, we're seeing even mainstream start to get on board with the merits of charitable gift annuities. I hope you'll consider it. You can call the AFA Foundation. Someone there will help you work through the details and find out whether you qualify for a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
To Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Adam Andrzejewski, my guest. He's with OpenTheBooks.com. You can find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. I've been tracking their work for a number of years now. You've been around since 2012?
On a national basis, we've really been national since 2013. Okay. And we started in 2011 by posting pay and pensions in Illinois. Bowl of corruption.
Yeah, you guys got a leg up on most other states. Let's go back here. The president, and unfortunately, you know, Congress and their appropriations bills that they're working on are not following the president's lead in zeroing out the NEA and the arts and humanities. But I want to go before we got a little bit of time, but I don't want to run out of time. I want to get into some of the specifics, and you make this point. That, you know, look, $1 million here, $10,000 here, $50,000 here, you know, $1.5 million here. Before long, we're talking real money.
That's right.
And then we get to a point, you wonder, how did we as a nation get to a point where we have $20 trillion in debt?
Exactly.
I mean, we just had, you know, one too many cacti worshiping sessions.
That's right.
Which is... Tucson, Arizona. Tell us about it.
So Borderlands Theater. So there's at Borderlands Theater, they actually got $10,000 from the National Endowment of the Arts for this project. They take tourists out into the desert where they go visit with and spend an hour with and talk to and listen and supposedly hear the cactus talk to you. They spend an hour with a saguaro cactus out in the desert, and then you come back, and on your social media, you talk about your experience. That was a $10,000 taxpayer grant to that organization.
Hashtag prickly. You know, that's... of course, you know, in capitalism, these are folks who are accustomed to being on the government gravy train. You know, in capitalism, we would actually have charged people to go out and listen to the cactus.
Right.
You know, if I can find a talking cactus, I can make money.
That's right. Yeah, right. The host swears the cactus talks back to the people. And that's fine in the private sector, but don't use public money for this purpose, right?
All right. Let's talk about South Dakota and hobos.
So last year, almost $12,000 flowed to South Dakota State University, and it went into...
I know we've had listeners in South Dakota. Don't mean to pick on you hobos up there in South Dakota if you've got a pocket radio, but come on.
And it's almost $200,000 since 2009 for historic Hobo Day in Brookings, South Dakota. And so it's, you know, it's Hobo Day, the school's homecoming celebration. The students dress up as hobos, ride floats, and drive the bummobile in the parade through campus and through downtown Brookings.
Isn't that offensive to hobos?
I'm sure it is.
Somebody's got to be offended by that.
Absolutely.
Let's talk now a little bit about some of the grants going to higher education.
Yes.
Beyond the hobos. But you've got some Ivy League colleges, universities that, well-funded,
right,
are still getting government tax dollars through the NEA.
Right. I find it offensive, and here's why. These Ivy League colleges are set up as 501c3 public charities with a charitable purpose of education. And Harvard itself is holding $36 billion in their endowment, but have taken from the National Endowment of the Arts $5.3 million since 2009. And that violates, in my opinion, the public purpose of a public charity. They have lost their purpose to provide for folks.
To put that in perspective for our listeners, this is according to the Wall Street Journal piece that was out today, is that they're holding, these Ivy League entities are holding in their endowment funds $120 billion. That's equivalent to $2 million per undergraduate student. So they need government money to do this
right.
stuff?
Exactly. So we actually did at OpenTheBooks.com an oversight report back in April on the Ivy League schools. And in the aggregate, even outside of arts funding, on federal contracts, grants, subsidies, and direct payments into those schools and special tax breaks, they had amassed over a five-year period roughly $42 billion at the federal, state, and local levels into the Ivy League schools. So we have no idea, Tony, where our tax dollars are being spent.
Well, that's a part of what you're doing is helping Americans see where their tax dollars are being spent. So I got to ask you, for those who appropriate the tax dollars, who they bring them, you know, they collect them, the IRS brings them here to Washington, D.C., and then the members of Congress, they decide where this goes. This doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's not automatic. Have you heard from any lawmakers about this?
Yes. So on our Ivy League report, hearings are supposed to happen in House Ways and Means this fall, and testimony from the Ivy League schools is supposed to happen, and the debate happened in that committee. Specific to this report, it just launched today, but I think our data gives the hard facts to be able to have the debate occur, so we actually know what's going on. You cannot cut this spending or reform this spending until you can see it. That first step started today, and we're confident that that will at least lead to reform and illuminate the debate right here in the Capitol.
Have you provided a copy of this to the White House? Have they gotten this report?
I don't think – I mean, hopefully they read the Wall Street Journal editorial page today, and all the links were to the report. But I think we need to deliver that report to the White House.
Well, we'll make sure that a copy gets up there so they see because this obviously is very supportive of what the president has proposed in the defunding of the National Endowment of the Arts and Humanities.
And that's the purpose, is to just illuminate that national public debate left, right, and center. And I think this gives a lot of momentum to those people that want to reform the system.
So, Adam, before I let you go, what's next for OpenTheBooks.com? What are you going to be looking at next?
So we have three oversight reports coming out. We have taken all federal grants, not only the arts grants, but all federal grants, and we've mapped them by congressional districts, and we're giving oversight to that map on where your federal grant dollars go, roughly $600 billion per year. That's one. The second thing is we've mapped the swamp. We've taken the 2 million civil service employees at the federal level, and we've mapped them by their government employer, by zip code, all across the country. And our oversight report will break down the top 25 federal agencies with salaries, bonuses, and history We broke it out by not only geography, but by job title, and we've spun that file. It's going to be a very interesting report. We have some government bureaucrats in charge of payroll for their agency bonusing themselves $143,000 in 1 year. Just done a bonus. So there's a lot of what we would affectionately call waste, possible fraud, possible corruption, but certainly taxpayer abuse in that file.
So when you get those reports, will you come back and share them with us?
Absolutely. I look forward to coming back on.
All right. Adam, thanks so much for being here. Great to see you again.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your interest in our work, Tony.
Absolutely. Folks, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over and actually read the report for yourself. It's very insightful. I think it's about 42 pages long, so it doesn't take you long to read it. But this is how we make change. I mean, you got to have facts. I mean, we all know money that the government uses is misspent, and we can point to different things. But when you have an organization like this that catalogs it and puts it in a nice readable form, documented, look, that's half the work. Now we've got to communicate with members of Congress. It's time to clean up government. It's time to drain the swamp, as the president has said. So go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And you can download a copy of this as you follow the links over to openthebooks.com. All right, just a few minutes left. I do want to give you the Capitol switchboard number going back to the Obamacare, and you can use it on this as well. 202-224-3121. That's the Capitol switchboard number. You can call and ask to speak to your two senators or your congressman, whichever you want to speak to. Right now, it's important that your senators hear from you as it pertains to the repeal of Obamacare. So give them a call, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. Okay, here's what I want to do in the few minutes we have left. I'm going to open up the phone lines. I want to know, based on what Adam shared with us and what the president is calling for to defund the federal defunding of the arts and humanities, because they're well-funded from the private sector. He's saying, look, when we got $20 trillion in debt, we don't need to be spending any of this money with them. What do you think? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, time to defund. Let me know, 866-372-7234, very quickly, because we only got about 8 minutes left, but I wanted to give you time to weigh in on that. And as I mentioned yesterday, I spent the day at the White House with about two dozen evangelical leaders from across the country, spent a little time with the president, the vice president. I want you to understand how important your voice is in this process. And everything the president is trying to do, he is being opposed by the media and even some members of Congress. And so, like, for instance, he proposed in his budget to defund all of this, but yet Congress wants to continue to fund it. Now, I don't agree with everything the president does, okay? I don't agree with everything. And I'm not a cheerleader, but I am a supporter, and I will support everything he's doing that is right. And frankly, a lot of it is right. A lot of it is long overdue in getting done. And we cannot just assume it's going to happen because the president said he wants to do it. He is having to fight the media. He's having to fight Congress, not just the Democrats, but even some in his own party. And so we've got to weigh in on these issues. And by all means, don't believe what you hear in the mainstream media. I mean, very rarely do they get it right. I mean, I know they say that a blind squirrel will find a nut every now and then, but the media can't even find that. I mean, I don't think they'll ever get it right. They have gotten so bad. So you got to establish other sources. Well, like Washington Watch, we bring you the news. I mean, look, you heard from Adam directly. You didn't hear it from me. I just asked him questions. You heard from two congressmen. I didn't ask them. I mean, I didn't talk. I asked them questions, and they told you what's happening. So you can hear directly from their mouths right here on Washington Watch. Share that with your friends. Tell them to tune in every afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern time, and be a part of helping change America. We've got trusted sources, CNSnews.com, Daily Signal. There's a number of good sources out there that are true, that are news sources that focus on a lot of different things. So tap into those. And, you know, I wouldn't worry so much about TV news. I think it's, I think all of them seem to be tracking left and are not helpful with what we're facing. All right, we're going to take in a few calls here before we got to go. Let's go to Nebraska to talk to Bob. Bob, welcome to Washington Watch. Time to defund. Taking a few calls here before we got to go. Bob? Hey, Bob, turn your radio down. All right. Bob, you there? Well, I think we lost him. I think he wanted to listen to the radio more than talk on the phone. Let's go to Tennessee, where John is on the line. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Hey, I agree the national endowment needs to be done away with, but my question is, when these programs or these laws or whatever are written, why are they not written with restrictions and limitations?
Mm-hmm. Good question, Bob. John, good question. What happens is Congress appropriates money to an agency. The agency then has a lot of leeway in how they actually distribute the money. Now, there used to be more – Congress used to direct more of the money. And that was actually very controversial and called earmarks, where they would direct money, not necessarily to the Endowment of the Arts, but sometimes they would go around the Endowments of the Arts and they would fund our humanities and they would fund a particular project of a similar nature. They funded things like, really crazy things like reproduction in earthworms, chicken cackling. I mean, just stuff that just you would think is insane. Those have pretty much gone away. Earmarks have gone away, and so they go through these agencies. And a lot of this is done not in the actual legislation, but the department heads will has a lot of leeway. But then some lawmakers will weigh in that are on these committees and say, "Hey, I'd like you to fund this." They have grants. You have to apply for the grants, and people make the application, and they have great. Like I said, leeway in how they award these grants. But again, it's answering the question, is this still essential? Now, I'm all for the arts. I like to go to the opera occasionally or the symphony, not the opera. The symphony, my family loves to come to the museums here in D.C. My wife loves art. I'm not so big on it. But I like to keep her happy, so I'll walk with her and look at some of the ugly pictures. But, you know, that's fine, and we can have some of that. But if you've got private funding, why does the government need to be funding things that really advance no national purpose, especially when we have $20 trillion in debt? All right, folks, out of time for today. Man, this hour has gone by fast. I guess it's because I've saved up all my talking for a week. We'll be back again tomorrow. I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you once again with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6. He says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.